You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
Thank you again for being here, Brother Charles.
I was so glad we're having the rec room this evening, because we don't hardly know how to make it without having church during the week. So this week we didn't have it. But we got the rec room. Thank God for the rec room. Thank you. This is kind of an older song nowadays. I think I've been singing it about 45 years or something like that. But it's right up to date. It tells how we got where we are and how we're going to get to where we're going. Only one way you can make it, and that's one day at a time.
My age, it's 1 hour at a time. I want you to turn in your Bibles tonight, if you will, to John chapter 11. And if you'd like to do that, and we're going to be turning to the different places, and I hope you would, if you'll lift your hand, we'll bring you a Bible. While they're doing that, let me say this to you. If you don't have a Bible here at Odessa with you, just keep that one as the rec room's gift to you. we'd be glad to give you that Bible. We want you to have it. It's one of those things. Don't leave home without it. You need to have God's Word for you. Get your hand on. Somebody said that. Said, sin will keep you from that book, or that book will keep you from sin. So you need to have that book. In the 11th chapter of John, there's a very familiar story that we're not taking the time to read all of it. Some of you are familiar with it. It's about Mary and Martha and Lazarus and the death of Lazarus as a young man, and also the resurrection of Lazarus, because when Jesus shows up, you know, every time Jesus went to a funeral in his ministry, he messed it up. The body got up. Funeral's over. No more potato salad. That's it. Wasted my money on flowers. Didn't know he's going to get up. This is a unique family. We know nothing about Mary, Martha, and Lazarus' parents. We know nothing about their family. We know nothing about them, other than the fact, one of the things we do know about them, if you look in the very fifth verse of chapter 11 of John, it said, "Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus." Now that's a mouthful. Now that's all that we need to know. If Jesus loved them, they're okay, aren't they? Yeah, they'll do to ride with, they'll do to run with. Jesus said Jesus loved all three of them. And Lazarus gets sick, and they inform Jesus about it, but Jesus is gone. He's at another place, and he just doesn't get back in time. He doesn't try to get back in time. It's almost as if he's calloused about this. And when he finally gets back, Lazarus has been dead 4 days already. And the word gets out that Jesus is coming back. And so Martha runs to see him. Runs to meet him. And the first thing she tells him, if you'd been here, he wouldn't have died. If you'd just been here. And Jesus talks to her about the resurrection, but she's not connecting it as now. It's sometime in the future type of thing. Mary is back at the house. They let her know that Jesus, in fact, Mary goes back and tells her Jesus is here, and she goes to see him and to meet him. And the first thing she says to him, if thou had been here, you will find these in verse 21 and then in verse 32. And then we're going to start reading in verse 33 here. Said, when Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, where have you laid him? And they said unto him, Lord, come and see. Notice verse 35. This is the shortest verse in the Bible. This is where I started my memory of the Bible. Anybody remember this? This Jesus wept. Two words. Jesus wept. What is interesting about this little short brief verse is that you never read in 66 books of the Bible where he ever lived. Never, you never read of Jesus smiling. I would have to think maybe he did, but I can't prove that. But we see him, he wept. And this is not the only place that we read that. Over in Luke, back in Luke chapter 19, if you'll turn there with me, the book right behind us, in verse 19 and in verse 41 it said, "And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it." What city are they talking about? What situation are these talking about? And if you'll go back to the book of Matthew, chapter 23, you will see in verse 37, it said, "Oh," Jesus is speaking, he said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killeth the prophets and stoneth them which are sent unto thee, how often but I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and you would not." Here's what Jesus weeps over Jerusalem. And he said, how often? How often would I have saved you? How often would I have gathered you? How often would I have protected you as an old hen does her little chickens? And those harsh words, "you would not." Didn't say you could not. Didn't say you didn't have a chance. He said you would not. That's a matter of the will. We won't do it. As some said, we will not have this man rule over us. We will not. It's a matter of our own will. It's not that we cannot. It's not that we might not, but we will not do this. And so Christ, two times. Now let me say this. I said that God never laughed, and that's true. But three times in the Bible, it speaks of God laughing, God the Father. And they're all in the book of Psalms. If you turn over to the book of Psalms with me for a moment, we're going to start in the second Psalm. We're going to start early in the second Psalm. And in verse 4 it says, "He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision." Then in Psalms 37 and verse 13, it said, "The Lord shall laugh at them, for he seemeth that his day, for he seeth that his day is coming." And then the last one is Psalms 59. "But thou, O Lord, shall laugh at them. Thou shalt have all the heathen in derision." What he's telling us, he's going to get the last laugh. God will laugh. Somebody told me about Forrest Gump trying to get in heaven. And St. Peter told him, said, "Well, said rules have changed. Said things have gotten a little bit more strict up here," and said, "you're going to have to take an entrance exam." And that didn't bother Forrest. He said, "That's fine with me. We'll do that. I'll do that." And they said, "Well, look, we're going to give you three questions. They're going to start easy and they're going to end extremely hard. But they're just three of them, and I'm going to give you a few hours to study them, and then we're going to give you the test. And if you pass these questions, then you get to go in heaven." And Forrest said, "That's fine with me." And he said, "The first question is this, and we'll give you time to study it." He said, "What 2 days of the week start with T? The second question is, how many seconds in a year?" He said, "I told you they'd get harder." And the third question is, "What is God's first name?" In a little while, Andy Forrest came back, and he said, "You ready?" And he said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Okay." He said, "What 2 days of the week start with T?" And he said, "That's real easy." He said, "Well, what are they?" He said, "Today and tomorrow." St. Peter kind of scratched his head, and he said, "Well, that wasn't what I had in mind, but," he said, "I've got to accept that is true." He said, "How many seconds in a year?" And he said, "Well, that wasn't hard either." And he said, "It wasn't?" He said, "No." He said, "There's 12. He said, "12 seconds in a year?" Said, "How'd you get 12? He said, "Well, there's January the 2nd, February the 2nd, March the 2nd. He he said, well, he said, again, that wasn't what we had in mind, but again, you're correct. I've got to accept that. He said, now then, what is God's first name? He said, that was the easiest one in all. He said, you got to be kidding me. What do you mean it's the easiest one in all? He said, that's easy, God's first name. He said, well, what is it? He said, Andy. He said, how'd you get Andy? He said, because my grandma taught me many years ago a song called, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. Okay. God's got some things that he can laugh about. But you know what? Jesus didn't have anything to laugh about. You know what his mission was? You know why he came? Not to write a Bible. He didn't come to start a church. He didn't come to start a Sunday school. He didn't come to start a religion. He didn't come to start a Bible school. The Bible said he came to seek and to save that which was lost. And his whole mission was to get people to heaven. And the problem was that nobody wanted to go. They ridiculed him. They ended up crucifying him. Did you ever think about that? Why would they crucify somebody? Why would you want to kill somebody? Why would you want to hurt somebody that just helped people? He helped a lame to walk. Helped the blind to see, helped the deaf to hear. He raised the dead like he's going to do Lazarus. Why would you want to kill a guy like that? He never took anything away from anybody. He never run over anybody. Never gossiped about anybody. Never did anything to anybody. And yet they hollered, crucify him, crucify him. That's why he never lied. Didn't have anything to laugh about. He had a mission, and that mission was going to cost him his life. And because of that, what's kind of interesting, and it's been 30 years since I walked in the first prison in my life. I was as green. I didn't have a clue about what's going on. And I didn't realize that that was getting ready to be my life for the rest of my life. Working with in the criminal justice system. And I've seen some of the toughest men. And what's been surprising, and I still see it, men that fear no other man. And I've seen them fear God. I've seen them do anything to stay away from God. I remember we were in one of the federal units over in Big Spring. That was privately operated, and it was immigration. Everybody in there were non-residents of the United States. And we were doing a seminar, and there was a guy, big guy, who was the most soft-spoken fellow I believe I've ever seen. And his name was Lewis. And just the most polite guy. Lewis was my wife, and other women went in with us, and he was just a gentleman from the word go. And at the break, one of the officers came up to me and he said, "Have you met Lewis?" And I said, "Yeah, in fact I worked in some groups with him in this first session." "Why?" He said, "Mr. Maples, we've never had anybody as bad as Lewis. said when they brought Lewis in here, it took 6 guards to get him down. He said he was vicious. And he said something happened to Lewis. The guard wouldn't say he got saved, but he said something happened to him. He didn't know that. He said something happened to Lewis. And Lewis has made a 180-degree turnaround. And Lewis had been big in one of the drug cartels in Mexico that had worked with the Colombians. They didn't know if he'd make it when he got out of prison or not because of his background there, and they might have some hits out on him. But that didn't bother Lewis at all. He had found Jesus Christ, and it didn't bother him. I'm telling you, he was open with it. After I got to know about him, I just sat and thought, my, how far he's come. See, most people don't like to be around Jesus, especially the evil kind. They don't want to be around him. They want to get away from him. They don't like his book. They don't like the Bible. They don't like the songs. They don't like his people. They just want to be away from him. And that's why they don't like him. Let me tell you something. Heaven would be a miserable place for a lost man. Because in heaven, we're going to be happy. Lost people are not happy. You say, well, I've seen some. No, they got to go buy something to make them happy. We got to take it. We either drink it or shoot it or smoke it. But we got to take something. See, if we were happy, we wouldn't have to take anything. You ever think about that? If you were pleased with your life, if I'd been pleased with my life, I wouldn't have been on that bottle. But I wasn't pleased. I didn't want to have to face reality. And that's something that... That's why lost people hate to go to funerals. They don't want to get around a funeral. Death reminds them of sin. They're problems. They don't want to be around that. Get me away from that. They don't want to be in emergency rooms. They don't want to be at funeral homes. They don't want to be. Let's go somewhere else. Get me out of reality. Let me go get in that ethereal world where we can all be happy. We can get out here and sing. You ever notice how drunk sang? I remember I used to run around with some guys, if you got too drunk to sing, you had to drive. But we get around that it's not us. We've got to go get something else. We'd rather party than face reality. Get me out here. Another thing, I don't like to see people cry. That's something that's wrong with funerals. People cry at funerals. People are hurting. That's reality. That's going to hurt. Everybody in here has been touched by that, and we didn't like it then. I guess 19 years old before I ever was around anybody close in my life that died. And in 1955, my roommate that was from my hometown, we were roommates in college, we played on the same football team, we played side by side on the football team. He was center, I was the guard. We did everything together. Got killed in drilling rig. I'd never had to face that. And the only good thing about it is it's been God has been very good to me. Number one, I'd been saved about a year, and he had too when that happened. So he let us both be saved so we wouldn't have to face it lost. He let me do that, and then he let me get sober before my youngest son died at the age of 23. I don't know how to handle that if I hadn't been sober. And not one time, let me say this, not one time did in any of these was there a trigger. We hear about triggers or cop-outs. I didn't have a trigger. I'm all, I want to go get me a drink of scotch. Let me go buy me a fifth of scotch. That never came. You know, I said, thank you, God, that my son wanted me in his wedding. Thank you, God, that the last thing I heard him say when I left 8 months ago, I love you, Dad. Thank you, God, that the first thing I found that belonged to him in his little old apartment was his Bible, and it was marked. Thank you. Because, see, you don't have to be afraid anymore. You don't have to duck and dodge. The Bible said, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear what man can do unto me. Because you can't hurt me. You can't touch me. I belong to God. All the things that Satan did to Job, not one of them did he do without God's permission. Now that's irritated me sometime because I got whipped pretty good. And I wish God hadn't given him permission. But it's for a good purpose, I know. See, we want to anesthetize ourselves. Back when I was a kid, and I've shared this with you, but I started drinking beer to learn to dance. Because I had two left feet. And but when I got older, when I moved into Odessa, broke, on bottom, a drunk, you know what I was drinking? I was drinking to anesthetize myself. I didn't want to feel the pain. I didn't want to feel like the loser I was. And so what I do to keep feeling like a loser, I get something that makes me feel like a winner. In my case, it's scotch. I was tired of feeling like worthless. So what I do, I took something that made me feel good. And that's scotch. Friend told me one time, because I quit drinking, I was going to prove to everybody what a man I was. And for 365 calendar days, I did not have a drink. I mean, I didn't take a cold beer after I mowed the yard. I didn't have a glass of wine before dinner. I didn't go out to a club and have a glass of scotch. And our lifestyle stayed the same. We were out to clubs 3 and 4 nights a week. But I drank black coffee. And after 365 calendar days, I declared to them what a man I was. That I had stayed sober, abstained from alcohol. Alcohol of any sort did not pass these beautiful lips in 365 days. And you know how we celebrated that? Yeah, I have one with you. Yeah. Let me tell you something. You never start over. You just pick up where you were. Don't start over. See, God can, if I'd really felt good about myself, I wouldn't want to change it. I just want to be that. Death reminds us of sin. Crying reminds us of sin. Bible said that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. I'm so thankful that somebody told me the story of Jesus. That somebody cared enough about me to want me to go to heaven. I thought they just bugging me for a while. I tried to find in the last 40 years or more, I guess now, yeah, the guy that was instrumental in telling me about Jesus Christ. I don't know whatever happened to him. He was a cripple. He had nothing that I had. I felt sorry for him. Except he was happy. He drug one leg, but he had a smile on his face all the time. He had to wait tables at college to pay for part of his way. But he was always happy. He was always friendly. And he told me about Jesus. Thank God he had the guts enough to do it. Thank God that he cared enough to come. Because that's the only answer. I don't care what we do, whatever we talk about. I don't care about what your politics are. I don't care about what your religion is. Doesn't make any difference about any of that. There's only one way to heaven, and that's Jesus Christ. I want you to bow your head for a moment. And with your heads bowed, your eyes closed, here's what I'm going to ask you to do. You're here tonight. I want you to be real honest with me. If you were to die tonight and stand before God in His heaven, why would He let you in there? Is there any reason that He'd be willing to let you into His heaven? And if you can't answer that question, then let me tell you how to get it answered. The Bible said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Let me say it again. Listen to it carefully. As thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Do you want to be saved? If you do, we've just read the formula. As I pray in a moment, would you confess in your heart to the Lord Jesus that you believe He died for you, that He rose again, that He'll save you? And on the very first verse that Brother Charles sings, will you come and say, I want this Jesus? Will you come and say, I trust this Christ? I'm tired of being sick and tired. I'm tired of being a loser. I'm tired of being a coward. I'm tired of running. I want that peace and happiness and joy that comes through Jesus Christ and from it. And I've seen it in His people. Maybe you had a grandma. Maybe you had a grandpa. Maybe you had someone in your family that you've seen that. You to come this very night. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.